Blessed be the Lord.
You don't have we to worship. Have music to worship me. The greatest worship of all is you just worshiping me with all of your heart. Out of your heart singing praises to me. Out of your heart loving on me. That's the greatest praise of all. For you just to worship me, lift me up, adore me, and magnify me. For when you magnify me, my presence surely comes in your midst. When you magnify me, all things are accomplished. Things are accomplished when you just from a pure heart worship me and adore me and magnify me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
If you would just lift those hands and just magnify you. Bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We worship you and magnify you. We glorify you. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you. Bedecado solo. Fendele boros eleni. Jesus, we worship you. We glorify you. We glorify you. We magnify you. Bless you, Jesus. This honor hath all his saints, saith the Spirit of grace, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. This honor has all his saints. Do not wait for me to bring forth dominion in your life. It's not given to me as the Spirit of truth to bring forth dominion in your life. It's given to you to bring forth my dominion in your life. You're the one with the authority to execute. You're the one to bring forth in dominion. I'm waiting on you. Upon your exercise, upon your execution, I bring forth into this planet. Bring forth much fruit in this service. Set your affections upon me. Counteract everything that Satan is trying to do to distract and to bring forth any distraction against your heart and your mind. Now is the time to set apart. Now is the time to set apart and to bring into effect. You're the one who does that. I follow you. I follow your execution of grace with strength, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Therefore, Lord, we thank you for it. We bind every principality, power, ruler of darkness. Father, we thank you for your glory, your grace, your angelic host. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Give somebody a great big hug. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glad for everybody that's here. And we've already had a good time just in his presence. Amen. And we're expecting good things to take place. Hallelujah. As they continue this morning. The word that's coming about, and it'll be heard by ears that can hear. And that's all of you that are born again and open up your heart. The word is so concise and precise, present tense. And I'm not saying this about myself, to glorify myself. But the lessons that are coming, present tense, have the potential beyond all lessons. We had to have the lessons hitherto for the foundation of praying in tongues and the necessity of the bedrock of the Word of God. But because the edifice has been built to where it's at, and the place to where we're at, the lessons that are being taught, present tense, are some of the most strategic that have ever been being taught, present tense, here by myself. So I'm asking you, come in and enjoy one another like never before. But I'm also asking you to garrison yourself. I'm asking those that understand spiritual warfare to continue to create the atmosphere through your staying very close to present tense, understanding where he's at and what he wants to accomplish, and just helping to provide for everything that he wants to see accomplished. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You're a great group. I love you so much. Well, there's no exhortation concerning the offering this morning. There will be an offering taken in just a moment. Our deputy is going to put out the offering bags, and we appreciate that. That means, I guess, we'll get more this morning. Yeah. Hallelujah. The only thing I will say is that we look to God first, and then we look to you as mature, developing, spiritual men and women that are all going from in sonship to eldership, and just to listen and to be obedient. And we appreciate your obedience, because it does really mean a lot. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you for all of these and those outside of these walls. Thank you, Father. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for thinking of the church. So we appreciate that. Amen. Let's all stand together. Could you give us something pretty cool, something wonderful? Amen. Hey, that's great. All right, you can bring this down. We appreciate it. Amen. Father, we worship you and we thank you for all of these that are here this morning and those that are being ministered to by the YouTube channel, those that are listening by MP3 format, those that are watching this. Father, we bless them. We bless all of this, your people, and we thank you for this opportunity and the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. There's a great anticipation in my spirit of the raging days of revival. And those days are upon us. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We're not seeing so many altar calls right now, so many grace lines, because we're understanding that for the most part, God has equipped you for all of that yourself. And we looked at Mark chapter 16 last week, and we said it like this, because I really do believe you're smart. Like, you do know that Mark chapter 16, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, and all that other stuff, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils. All that was a presentation to the church, but it wasn't for the church. In other words, all of that power, that was from the very beginning of what he said, was to be levied or put out on the world. Amen? Can I buy an amen? If you look at that, and that's not our lesson, the church has really cannibalized itself. In other words, we've tried to use all of the power on each other. And we talked about James chapter 5 last week about what the prayer of faith was in regards to the week earlier about the directives of God. But when Jesus said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, and these signs shall follow them that believe, all of that power was to be portrayed to and for the world. Hallelujah. And so I said that to say this, the raging days of revival are here, but they are going to come to a format in which we're going to see all of that glory with mass crowds being healed. There's a reason why we're not doing it now, like in front of us on a weekly basis. If anybody's sick, call for us. The elders of the church will stand over you, pray over you, anoint you. And that's a whole nother teaching. But I'm telling you, the world is what we're after. And the authority that we're learning and gaining right now in wisdom and revelation is something that's going to take us to that next level. Amen. Let me review last week's just for a little bit, and then we'll start into today's, because today's is King's teaching angels. King's teaching angels. And I want to once again say something that I know the Holy Spirit had me say last week. And the Holy Spirit told me, I want you to say it. I want you to say it. It was kind of an advertisement concerning myself, but he said, I want you to say it about yourself. And he said this, and I wrote it down. It said, please listen to your pastor's voice the second time. Please listen to your pastor's voice the second time. And I told you last week what he meant by that was that because of the awesome job that people that are in here that are getting these up real quick, either to watch or to listen to, it's so important, especially, I'm going to put a parenthesis, not quotation marks, but a parenthesis around these and say, these are especially important messages. Especially, I know you're very busy. If you can't listen to everything that comes out of here the second time, please listen to the Sunday services the second time. That one, gets us on the same page. Two, it begins to help you season with an understanding. See, like I said last week, I've already prayed. This is not to my reputation. I've already prayed all this out, okay? That's hours in prayer. I've already studied it out. And sometimes, literally, it's been months in the making. And I'm not saying that to glorify myself. Like I said, what I'm saying is that for the one time that you may hear it and you go pass on, you're at a horrible disadvantage. Unless you're already in the Word and following along the Word and on the same page, now you can hear it by osmosis on a weekly basis, but it will escape you very quickly if you're not also attaining to it yourself. Now, just being in the Word yourself and listening to the Word and praying in the Spirit is going to give you an acclimation to be able to absorb what's being said very quickly. But just the battle that's in here sometimes on a given service, also the responsibilities of certain people, blah, 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 on and on and on. Well, I don't say blah, blah, that's very important. On and on and on. Sometimes you'll never get in the service what you'll get at home or in the car when you're relaxed listening to it. A lot of times you'll actually say, wow, that's not the service I was at. I didn't hear that. Or I got upset about a certain issue, but now that I'm hearing it like this, I understand it now. Wow. Do you know that there's a devil that, I hate to tell you, devils come to church too. And the devil will use whatever part he can of your flesh that's not yet, or the parts of your mind that has not yet been conformed to the Word of God, to hear something and bam, you run with it. Your mind runs with it. And then everything else that the preacher says is like the old Charlie Brown characters, blah, 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 blah. And when you hear it and the Holy Spirit can break it down to you, you say, wow, that's Word. And understand how it fits. It fits perfectly with what the foundation that we've been hearing for 20 years, 20 plus years. So I think that's very valuable that you do that. And if you can only listen to some, do the Sunday mornings, please. They will help you tremendously. And that is said for your benefit. Let me say this concerning over the last few weeks, starting back with week before last. We taught a really kind of straightforward revelation, you know, was kind of revelation first time said kind of things from us about what and how we're supposed to be executing power when we go to pray for people. And what we did say was this, and we said it blatantly to get your attention. Last week, we didn't back off of it. We just taught corresponding scriptures to really help people understand what the Holy Spirit is trying to get across. 2 weeks ago, we said some things like this. We said, based on scripture and what we said, or what we could see, Jesus never prayed for anyone. Last week, we talked about Jesus' prayer life. Did Jesus have a prayer life? Oh, my God. He had an awesome prayer life. But the prayer life that Jesus had would be comparable to, he did not pray in tongues. You can't find in the Word of God he did, but I understand why, and I can teach you that later. But we don't have particular scripture that he did, but everything that he did in his private prayer life would be comparable to our times of worship, intimacy with the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, which is edification, mainly as in guidance and direction from the Father to know the plans, purposes, and the pursuits that the Father had for him on a continual and daily basis. But when he would leave his prayer closet, which he had often, once he did spend time, and then when he left it, he came out and gave directives. He gave directives as a king, and this is our series now, and so I would cue off of that and tee off of that and say, kings and priests, this is how Jesus acted. Spent time alone, but when he walked out, and we could not find, and I challenged, not in a demeaning way, I challenged people, find one time. And I said, if you can find one time that has escaped me, one thing we will conclude is this. That was not the norm, because we had about 40. I think we had 38 instances of miracles that Jesus performed. And we went through those to your almost belaboring the point. I got in the car with Davey after that Sunday service, and she goes, hey, Dad. I said, yeah. My mind wasn't even thinking. She goes, Dad. She goes, did Jesus ever pray for anybody that was sick? And I started to explain it because she was sitting right there. She goes, I'm just kidding. You gave us she goes, after 25 examples, I was ready to say, does anybody not get it? Well, the purpose is this. We understand that when he steps out, we are to follow. Who's our prototype? He's our prototype. Jesus is our prototype. When he stepped out, he did not begin to pray to the Father over any instance. He gave the directive of what needed to be happening at the time and at the moment. Hallelujah. Well, how will I know? Because you're led of the Holy Spirit, just like he was. Because you have the faith-based foundation of this, it's always God's will to heal every individual. So all you're doing is pronouncing a judgment that is written as a king. We went over that verse last week. This honor has all his saints. You're stepping forward and saying, in this instance, I judge and I say, as a king in Christ, I take authority over this. This is done. Be healed. Get up, rise up, and walk. Hallelujah. So many wonderful things. I want to just skip through this real quick because I don't want to, we've got so much to cover in this new lesson. Ephesians 6:18, which we covered last week, which was praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always, that word means with all, and it says, and with all prayer. In the Greek and the original, it says with all types and with all manners of prayers. Okay? So there are all types and all manners of prayer. We know praying in tongues. We know worship. We know, there is petition. Sometimes I don't know. Hey, when we go to pray for the sick, is it ever, ever, ever applicable to say, whatever your will is, thy will be done, God, what we're praying for? Never, my God. We've got 66 books that tell us it's his will all the time to heal. So the directive is, be healed in Jesus' name. Absolutely, be healed in Jesus' name. Now, there are times where something will come to me, a purchase of this or a buying of that or a directives. I don't know. Somebody will say, would you pray for me? Well, do you know? Have you talked? Have you communicated? Well, I'm not really sure. Well, then let's ask God. Let's petition him. Lord, if it be thy will. There are some if it be thy will. Show us. There are those kinds of prayers. But it does not have to do with anything with raising the dead and healing the sick and casting out devils. Hallelujah. That's beyond it. We're beyond that. Praise the Lord. Now, what else can we pull up from last week? Mark 16, we've already talked about that. That's given to the church, but it's not for the church. The church is to exercise that to the world. Hallelujah. Let's get out there, people. Let's get out there. Amen. That's where the power. This was meant to be used for the world. Also, hallelujah. There was a couple of paragraphs I wanted to read here because just I thought it was really good in closing on that part on the last week's. Proverbs 28:1 says this. You don't have to turn there. The wicked fleeth when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Folks, it's time we get bold when we go in. Amen? Hallelujah. When we go in to raise them up or heal them, when somebody calls us to go do something, that is not the time to begin to second guess. Hallelujah. Now, I got a chance to, here's the difference. I got a chance to go pray for my aunt. She's 91. She's ready to go home. She's ready to be with the Lord. Okay? That was a few days ago. They said, would you come pray for her? Because we don't know what's keeping her here. I didn't go in there and ask the Lord to help her stay. She's wanting to go home. She's ready. I'm saying, okay. I told her, now go. It's time. Release. Hallelujah. The Prince of the Kings, which is Christ, of course, commissioned his kings not to blink in the face of decision making when concerning life or death for the sick and dying. Really, it's a showdown. Life for the sick is generated. I like this part. Listen, I know this is from God. Life. You know what life is? It's God's life. It's Zoe. God's life is what, I don't care what the ailment is, when the life of God is generated, now it's from us as a born-again human beings, that life is generated out of our new nature. It comes internally, okay? That life comes internally for us when we need healing. Sore throat, I don't have to get it from out there. That life, that Zoe is already there. The law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Where does that life comes that can heal my earache, my sore throat, my hurt knee, whatever. That life emanates from that law of the Spirit of life. That life comes from somewhere that the dead, which are not yet born again, they cannot emanate that life. We've got to bring that life to them. That's why laying hands on them is so necessary, because they can't get it for themselves. It can't come. It cannot emanate from them. It's got to come and emanate to them. Got it? It's two different realms. We are the ones with the covenant, and we're the ones that have the life already in us. So where does the life come from? In us, heals the sickness that's coming against our body. Here's the showdown when we go to the world. Life for the sick is generated from not God's, but from our certainty. In other words, how much confidence do you have when you go to do this? Life is the state of already knowing the absolute mind of our sovereign, which is Christ, of course, and exercising it in the boldness of one who is a ruling monarch. Death for the infirmed is an indecisiveness on our part that questions, will heaven really back me up in this administration of healing? See, you've heard of trickle-down economy? Okay, that's in economics. We are the result of trickle-down doubt. I'm sitting in here, and even against my senses, I'm reading the Word and praying and fasting on a continual basis, not to my advertisement. But this is what I do. This is who I am. This is what I do, and this is who I am. I'm getting it, but it's hell to break through. It's hell to break through. There's a ceiling because I haven't seen it. I've seen it in my spirit. Well, Pastor, it's in the Word. Yes, but I've not been raised. I mean, I was raised in Pentecost, but as a seeing it on a continual basis. And seeing the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, like they saw in the book of Acts, that's not been the continual everything that I've been exposed to. Neither has it been for you. Now, you might have been in some short seasons, but
it's, if you were there and it's still not going on, or you'd be there, you wouldn't be here, okay? But listen, death for the infirmed is our indecisiveness. Death for the individual is false humility that will question if you were really righteous enough to be considered as a king with full authority. That question alone, listen, and that's, we'd probably need to go to the second lesson this morning. But you're questioning yourself? That's not the time to question yourself. That's not the time, okay? It sounds like sometimes like we want to set ourselves in a position of like, okay, Lord, I want to be real humble here. I don't know if I'm worthy, but Lord, listen. That's what I said last week. That's the showdown. You remember I told you there's a Western I really like? That's the one with John Wayne. It's The Shootist. I said, don't let your kids watch it. But the one thing he said, you know, when the guy's watching him, his understudy, Ron Howard, and he's showing him how to shoot, and he says, after they shoot, the guy goes like this. He goes, I could shoot as good as you. You're supposedly the greatest gunfighter that's ever been. He goes, I could shoot as good as you. And he goes, when you drew, you're not that fast. And he said, what has ever separated you? What? And this is talking about the showdown that we have. He goes, the only thing that separates me is this. A lot of men will hesitate. When it comes right down to it, face to face, eyeball to eyeball, just before they get ready to draw, there's something in them that don't quite have the confidence. He goes, I'll never hesitate. Here's the thing, I don't blink. Blinking in the spirit is this, going and questioning, is he gonna back me up? He will back us up. Hallelujah. Don't blink. Here's the bad part. Here's the part. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you. People will die if you blink. Well, I was just being humble. I was just saying, I need to go away and fast and pray. While you go away and fast and pray, they could die. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Monty, can I buy an amen for $5? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Satan is extremely clever to promote false narratives concerning kings in Christ. The narrative... can't find that part. For the most part, has centered on financial prosperity of the believer. Christ's kingdom is not of this world, nor do his kings rule with subjective mentality of this world. Amen. All right. Last week we left off with giving examples of past Christ concerning how important it is. And I want to go into this just a little bit, and then we want to jump into where we're at today, and we can do this. Is that once Christ left, how did the apostles handle sickness and disease? Well, we read this. Now, you can turn there if you'd like to, or you can just listen, because we've got a lot of other reading to do. This was in Acts chapter 3. We're not going to read that, but remember last week? Remember the first miracle that the apostles had the opportunity to perform after Pentecost, which was what? The cripple at the gate beautiful, okay? And I read that. We're gonna read out of Acts here in just a moment, another episode or another example, rather, of the Apostle Paul. But the first miracle that took place was the cripple at the gate. And that was Peter and John, okay? They're going up to prayer. They've been filled with the Holy Ghost. And this just exemplifies the things that I was saying 2 weeks ago, is that when they get to him, we read this last week, when they saw him, they did not stop. Did we read that together last week? Was there a prayer prayed? No. Okay, some of you are wondering if you were here last week. There was no prayer prayed. What did they do? They just spoke a directive and said, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Hallelujah. There was no prayer prayed. He said, okay, we get that, Pastor. Listen, the only way that we're ever going to go out and see a change, because what we've been seeing for decades has not been working. It's not been working. What we're going to see now as a result of what Christ is doing in our hearts and minds through revelation knowledge, this will change us into the next level. Acts chapter 14, this is another living example. Verse 8, if you want to turn there, and I hope that you'd like to, just so you can see it in your Bible. Hallelujah. Or your iPad or your phone that has the Bible, but you are not looking at texts or emails or the stock market. Hallelujah. I pray your phone fails and dies a death if that is what you're doing. Acts chapter 14, verse 8 says this, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who, that being Paul, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said," this is what Paul said, "said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked." Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Again, we see the ministry of the apostles, and we could go on and on and on. But again, here's Peter and James. Here's the apostles. When they come into contact with the world, the sick, and the dying, that's not the time to pray. There's no indecisiveness. They know what's supposed to take place, and all they do is give a directive. He did not say, "Crippled man, I'm going to intercede for you to God." He just did what it needed to be done at the time. Get up and walk. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. The church has, for the most part, stumbled over, please listen to this, over any success in miracles that it has had in the past. It's stumbled over it. In other words, they didn't really know how it happened, never knowing how to duplicate it. Sometimes it would take place and they never know how to duplicate it. Thus strange and foolish doctrines have derived. The church of kings and priests will find that miracles are as deliberate as the directives they will speak. Hallelujah. Thank God for sometimes miracles. But I'm telling you, when that happens and you don't know how or why it happens, and for some reason you followed not the formula but the absolute mind of Christ, and a church got something across like there was some miraculous healing, for the most part people didn't know what caused it, and so out of that they started developing all kinds of foolish, childish, fable doctrines, like, well, this was the sovereign of God. And God had this person sick so we could get him healed now. So he knew at this time it was really important, because Aunt Susie got saved and she was over in some place, and Uncle Bob got saved. And listen, it's his will to heal all the time, every time, in every situation. And when the church comes into this final day understanding, like we're understanding right now about directives, the duplication of this is going to be automatic, on time, every time. Hallelujah. And I like that. I like that. Praise the Lord. Things I heard Gary say, not just recently, but I wrote some things down when I was at Jim's conference. And some of this might be, Gary, if you listen to this, might be some of the things that you actually said. But I think some of it was quotes. But I thought this was real good. There's just a few of them. When a son of God speaks, heaven hears and agrees. Hell hears and obeys. And I think this one was Smith Wigglesworth. He said, "I'm not looking for a move of God. I am a move of God." Why don't you become a move of God? Don't look for one. Become one. The Holy Spirit's mission. Now listen to this one, because this is one of those ones that'll turn your brain sideways. The Holy Spirit's mission is not to do miracles. That's secondary. His mission is to enforce the dominion of the believer. His mission is to enforce our dominion. The reason why that people don't get healed is because there's no directive given. He can't heal them unless someone that has dominion says it so. And if I say it so, then he'll follow it so. So his objective, he's like this big, huge Hulk, excuse me, Holy Spirit of power. And he's just vibrating. I would just love. This would not take one strain. It would not labor on me one strain. I helped your father create the universe. Stars came out of Christ and I put them into molecular structure. It wouldn't even drain a thimble in a sea, an ocean of my power to heal that cripple or that blind or that one diseased. It wouldn't do. But he's sitting there pulsating with power and he cannot do anything about it because there's no in power directive given. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. If what you say lines up with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit cannot not move if it lines up with the Word of God. And T.L. Osborne said this, don't ask God to do what He's asked you, or don't ask God to do what He's already done. Do you understand that? Oh Lord, heal Pastor Bronk. In His Word, He's already done that. Then there are directives to take care of that. And then last week we talked about if you're in a battle, a long battle, then there's confessions that follow those directives, like take His Word and begin to pound that sickness and that disease with His Word on a continual daily basis. So it's not like it's a one time and you don't have anything else to do. You're still active in the fight if the fight's there, okay? But we're getting to the place, and what we want is first time every time. First time every time. But if the battle ensues, then we've got a secondary. We can take His Word, stand on His Word, and confess His Word daily, daily. And that's not saying, God, will you do it, or I'm asking you to do it. That's making those directives. I say, His Word says, by His stripes I'm healed. His Word says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. Hallelujah. Don't ask God to do what He's told you to do. You understand that one? He's told us to go do it. He's not going to do it without us. What truth says the Holy Spirit will do. Everybody say amen. Amen. Now let's look at some scripture here. And just a little bit here, this is amazing. We're going to go from, we're basically going to cover the whole Bible, and I'm not going to teach the whole Bible, but we're going to go from Revelation. This time we're going to do it in reverse. You've heard people talk about teaching from Genesis to Revelation, or we're going to teach from Revelation to Genesis. Okay, so turn with me in your Bible to the book of Revelation. Okay. And let's look at chapter 12. This is actually the chapter that we've used several times recently on Onward Christian Soldiers. And let's look at verse 7. There, are everybody's there? Okay, I'm hoping. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought against and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old, what? Serpent. I hope you got a King James or something comparable to it that says serpent. Because right there, God tags him as a serpent and called. It tells you, just in case you could get mixed up, this serpent is the one that we call what? the devil. We also call him Satan. In other words, he just doesn't want you to get mixed up. This is who we're talking about. He says here, the great dragon was cast out, and that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So, who was cast out? Out of heaven. The devil. What does he call him here? The serpent. The dragon. The old serpent. He was cast out. I want you to hear this, and this is very important for you to understand these observations. God sees, now this is talking about when Satan was cast out of heaven, and that when he fell, God sees him, sees Satan as a serpent. Did he not call him a serpent? Okay. The culprit in the deception of man's fall. Okay. Who was, it says right there, that old deceiver that deceived the whole world. Again, I know this is like Jane C. the ball. Who deceived the world? Who? The devil? The old serpent? Who was he? Satan. Okay. Now everybody say this. A physical snake did not cause the fall of man. Y'all do understand that, right? A physical snake did not cause all of the mess that we're fighting today, okay? Dave Roberson used to say, I'd appreciate it when he would say, if you think that what he was describing, because we're going to turn there in the book of Genesis, was a physical snake, he said, we've got some kids in our Sunday school department that you need to sit down that can educate you a little bit. He got to laughing. I remember Dave laughing. He says, I heard one preacher say, that the reason why Eve fell, or the reason why she yielded, was that she was so flabbergasted by a talking animal that it just knocked her senses off, and she just was deceived because this snake was talking to her. And Dave used to laugh like a belly laugh, okay? What does Revelation, what does God, what does he call Satan? A serpent. Okay, so we know that God looks at him as a serpent. Now let's turn to Genesis. I told you we're going to cover the whole Bible. We're in the last book, now we're going to go all the way to the first book, okay? Go to Genesis chapter 1. Wow, we start from the very beginning. Now, I'm going to try to read this kind of rather quickly so we can get done this morning. You can enjoy the revelation and just chew on it all afternoon. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Hebrew says, light be. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs yielding seed, and the fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs yielding seed after his kind, and the seed yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament and of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule by day, the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the lights from the darkness. And God saw it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle creeping things, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after his kind. And that word cattle in the Hebrew is more than just what we think of cattle. That is brute beast. It includes a lot of other animals besides for what we understand as being cattle. And everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. I'll read that verse again because there's a key word in there. God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after his kind, their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. The word creepeth, which is mentioned here, creeping or creepeth here, is mentioned a few times. And when we see the word creepeth, it means this. It's 74:31. This is very important for us to understand the revelation that we're looking at here and also in the New Testament. The word comes from another word, but the word here, creepeth, means a reptile or anything rapidly moving, animal that creepeth, creeping, moving thing. It comes from this word. It's a primitive root word, properly to glide swiftly, that is to crawl or to move with short steps, by an analogy to swarm or to creep. How many of you know what category in the animal kingdoms that snakes belong to? Can somebody talk a little? What? Creepeth. They are reptiles, okay? The word dominion here, I want us to look at it. And he said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. And he goes on to say, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. The word dominion means this, and it's 78 or 7287 if you look it up in the Strong's. Very easy to find. It's a very powerful word. In fact, it's really, to some degree, it's an aggressive word. And it's amazing that God spoke it from the very beginning. The primitive root word means to tread down. To tread down, that is to subjugate, specifically to crumble off, come to, make to, have dominion, prevail. This is what God said, prevail against, reign, bear, to make, rule, overtake. Is that a powerful word? Take dominion. God's reasons for mankind and for creation of mankind, we read all those creations every day, and God said it was good, it was good, it was good. But in Genesis 1:26, he says this, and I'll read this again for you. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. And then it goes on to read or say what we have read before. God had two reasons. This is very important. Two reasons for man's creation that was up front, okay, that we see The right from the get-go. The first time that God ever mentions anything about man, Okay, he's made all these things, birds and fish and all of this stuff on the earth, and beautiful seas and fish that swim in the seas and all this stuff. But now God steps up and he says, let us, that's a triunal Godhead decision out of one God, let us make man in our image. To make something, the very first thing that God says about man, I want to make something. Now I'm paraphrasing it in my vernacular. I want to make something that looks like me. I want to make something in my image so I can fellowship with it. That's the first thing that God says about man. I don't know how the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost communicate, but this is what they said. This is what the Father, who is the administrator of this whole thing, this is what he said. Let us make man in our image. In other words, we're getting an insight to something incredible. We get a window, we get a peek into something so incredible called the sovereignty of the Godhead. And their first desire to create man, after we get all this other stuff done, let's create man in our image. What he was saying is this: this is my intent. I want somebody that looks spiritually, looks like me, acts like me, is just like me. I want a son like me. Then, amazing, of all the other things that he could possibly said, but this gives away what his intent was. It gives away. What's on his heart is spoken next. I want the one that looks like me to have dominion. I want what looks like me, the little me, to take, this is what it says in the Hebrew, to tread down, to subjugate, to crumble off, to come, to make, to have dominion, to prevail against, and to reign. That's what he said. Amazing. The word dominion can be seen as an aggressive term. Why? He wasn't just speaking. Yeah, it had the subjugate part, or it has the other part of like, I want you to rule over animals. But why speak so aggressively from the beginning? He wasn't trying to carry out some ill wish on what he had just said was good. He loved his little bunnies and his little deer and all those things. He was giving something to Adam that was something imparted to him from the very beginning that had a place of dominion against anything that could possibly creep on the earth. Hallelujah. God presents him, Satan, listen to this, in the serpent category. Well, then why not just call him an angel? Listen. God puts Satan in the serpent category in creation because of the craftiness of the serpent. That was the best way to describe him. But God is also telling Adam that whatever kind of craftiness that will ever present itself before you, I have already given you the dominion over it. Hallelujah to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! That makes me want to shout. It was inconceivable that God would not have given him explicit, inconceivable. I can't even think. It's inconceivable that God would not have given him explicit warning to Adam of the danger of as yet, the danger of as yet a non-incarcerated creature that was on the loose. Do you think that daddy would have created and then just left him to his own wiles? From the get-go, he was giving him a message. Adam, whatever comes in here to deceive you, I've given you dominion over it. I'm warning you, present tense. I'm not only warning you, I'm giving you dominion. When it happens, you've got all the wherewithal to cast it down and cast it out. Hallelujah to God. Adam's commission of dominion was not something of harsh statement against innocent animals, but the aggressive part of the term was a warning concerning the necessity of the rulership over anything that tried to take over the garden. Adam was forewarned and empowered to rule. This was what made the fall such a travesty. The fall of the first Adam relinquished the dominion that God originally intended. A new and final last Adam appears. Hallelujah. Do we know who that is? Do we know who we've been made in the likeness of? Colossians, turn with me to Colossians 2. Hallelujah. Colossians, I'm going to read unusually. I usually read from the King James, but I'm going to read this. If I can get it to stay. There we go. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to read Colossians 2, 1 through 12, no, 1 through 15, and you just listen because we want to see this, and it gives some descriptive terms that I think you'll enjoy. You can follow along in the King James, or if you'd like, whatever, but if it mixes you up, just listen. This is Colossians 2, 1 through 15. It says this, "For I want you to know how great is my solicitude for you, how severe an inward struggle I am engaged in for you." This is Paul writing for those believers at Laodicea, "and for all who have like yourself have never seen my face and known me personally. For my concern that their hearts may be braced, comforted, cheered, and encouraged, as they that are knit together in love, that they may come to have all the abounding wealth and blessing and assured conviction and understanding, and that they may become progressively more intimately acquainted with and may know more definitely and accurately," boy, they amplified, "and thoroughly that mystique secret of God, which is Christ the Anointed One, in him all the treasures of divine wisdom, comprehensive insight into the ways and the purposes of God, and all the riches of the spiritual knowledge and enlightenment are stored up and lie hidden. I say this in order that no one may mislead and delude you by plausible and persuasive and attractive arguments and beguiling speech. For though I am away from you in body, yet I am with you in spirit, delighting at the sight of your standing shoulder to shoulder in such an orderly array and firmness and a solid front of steadfastness in your faith in Christ." Boy, that makes us think about onward Christian soldiers. Amen. "That leaning of the entire human personality of him in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. And you have therefore, as you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, regulate your lives, and conduct yourselves in the union with and conformity to him. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed and founded in him, being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing with thanksgiving. See to it that no one carries you off as spoil or makes you yourselves captives by the so-called philosophies, intellectualism, and vain deceit, idle fancies, and plain nonsense." He's talking about crazy doctrine. Paul, you need to look at the church today. Paul, if they had let you have a Facebook in heaven, you'd know that the church is being led off with stupidity, just foolishness. Idle fancies and plain nonsense, following human traditions, men's ideas, and the material rather than the spiritual realm, spiritual world. Just crude notions, following the rudimentarian teachings of the universe, and the disregarding the teachings of Christ the Messiah. For in him, the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. And you are in him made full, having come to the fullness of life in Christ. You too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. He is the head and the rule of all authority. Everybody say amen. and every angelic principality and power. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, but in a spiritual circumcision performed by Christ by stripping off the body of the flesh, the whole corrupt carnal nature with its passions and lusts. Thus you were circumcised when you were buried with him in your baptism, which you were also baptized with him to new life through your faith in the working of God, as displayed when he raised him up from the dead. And you were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, your sensuality, your sinful carnal nature. God brought life together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our trespasses, having canceled and blotted out and wiped out all the handwriting of note bond, that is a bond, which its legal decrees and demands, which was in force, stood against us, hostile to us. The note with its regulation, decrees, and demands, he set aside and cleared completely out of our way by nailing it to the cross. God disarmed principalities and powers that were raging against us to make a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in his cross. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He says here that Jesus, the King James says, he made a display of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In what? In the cross. When he was buried and was resurrected, it was not something in a recluse way. All of the universe and all what broke the power of the seed of Satan, which was the dead nature, that brought into effect all the devils of hell, all the principalities, all the power, starting with the ark himself, or starting at the top of the food chain, Satan himself, and every descending spirit of hell could not stop this thing from coming off. It happened. And Jesus comes forth. He comes forth. That is our last Adam. That's the one we follow. He made a display of principalities openly. Now, Ephesians chapter 3. Turn with me. There, we're going to close this in a few minutes, but you got to get this if you get anything. Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm going to read this from the King James. And then we'll read it, I think, out of the Amplified as well. Let's look at verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you, Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Okay, Paul's saying, I received this mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read it, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who are less than the least of the saints, is given grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world. Everybody say the beginning of the world. Does that mean Genesis chapter 1? Okay, he's talking about a mystery that is now being exploited or revealed that happened in Genesis chapter 1. Does everybody get that? Okay, I can't move on until you understand that. The beginning of the world is Genesis chapter 1. Who created all things by Jesus and to make all men see the fellowship of the mystery again, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent, who created all things by this mystery, the fellowship of this mystery, which was hid from the beginning of the world, hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, to this intent, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. That's in the, okay. Now, let me just read this. It won't take but a moment. Let me just read this out of the Amplified, and then I want to finish commenting. Hallelujah. Can't get it to go over. Okay. There's where you're, it's good to have paperback. Okay. Candy, go in there, look in my briefcase in one of the pockets. You got it amplified? Yes, thank you. Perfect. You're a godsend. Yes. For this reason, because I preach that you are thus built up together, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake and on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, his unmerited favor, that was entrusted to me to the dispense to you for your benefit, and that the mystery secret was made known to me, and I was allowed to comprehend it by direct revelation, as I already briefly wrote. When you read this, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. This mystery was never disclosed to human beings in past generations, as it has now been revealed to the holy apostles, consecrated messengers, and prophets by the Holy Spirit. It is this, that the Gentiles are now to be fellow heirs with the Jews, members of the same body and joint partakers, sharing in the same divine promise in Christ through their acceptance, the glad tidings, the gospel. And this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's free grace, undeserved favor, which was bestowed upon me by the exercise, the working in all its effectiveness and its power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, God's consecrated people, his grace, this grace, favor, privilege was granted and graciously entrusted to proclaim to the Gentiles the unending, boundless, fathomless, incalculable, and exhaustless riches of Christ, wealth which no human being could have searched out. Also, to enlighten all men and make plain to them what is the plan regarding the Gentiles and providing for the salvation of all men of the mystery kept hidden through the ages, canceled until now in the minds of God who God created all things by Christ Jesus, the purpose that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite varieties and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angels, angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in heavenly places. This is in accordance with the terms of the eternal and timeless purpose which God has realized and carried into effect in the person of Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Terry. Very good. When it says here, to the intent, now listen to this as we close, because you got to understand this, kings and priests, as you go forth. Paul says to this intent, what he was saying is, now at this time, the original intention of God are now being made manifest by the church through the finished work of Jesus Christ. The church now gets to demonstrate. You still with me? The church now gets to demonstrate to, when it says How does the King James say it? Let me get it in the King James here because I want you to see it. Hallelujah. You're hanging in there good, but you got to get this because it's going to get somebody out of a wheelchair. It's going to get somebody out of a wheelchair. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by who? The church, the manifold wisdom of God. The church now gets to demonstrate to the principalities and powers the original intentions God had, which was the dominion of man through Jesus Christ over all the works of the devil. Hello, kings and priests. What two things was what's on his heart to start with? I want somebody that looks like me, and I want them to have dominion. Now, the first Adam failed. He relinquished that authority. It only took 4,000 years to get the next one in. But the one that came along was the one that we read about in Colossians chapter 2, who spoiled principalities and powers. Now, what Paul is saying is this. We reveal to this intent, this now, since the church has been birthed, since it's come into effect, we get to bring, I'll just read my notes and then I'll comment because he said it best. The church now gets to demonstrate to the principalities and powers the original intentions of God, which was the dominion of man through Jesus Christ over all the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What Adam did not do through the willful choice, which negated his dominion, we now, through the finished work of Jesus Christ, take dominion as kings of the earth over the works of the devil. When we take this dominion in every circumstance of life, we are taking them. Listen, he's talking about the church is on display. Do you get that part? Do you get to this intent? I brought the church for this intent to prove what I started in the beginning. And church, you're on display to show something to principalities and powers. What are we supposed to show them? He says this, the Holy Spirit said this. When we take this dominion in every circumstance of life, we are taking them, principalities and powers, to school. We're taking them to school. Or displaying to them the original intention of God as sons of God over the serpent and over all his cohorts. When Satan was cast out of heaven, Adam already had a warning and a commission to take dominion. When he did not do that, Satan gained access, and no generation until the church. Not David, not Isaiah, no generation ever showed what the original intent of God was for all mankind. And that original intent was to rule over an unincarcerated serpent that God would one day, through man, incarcerate, last Adam. And God says through Paul, church, now you, living under the power and under the mandate of Jesus Christ, you get to go out there and school those principalities. They've never been shown who was in charge. We get to now show who's in charge in all of this. Who's in charge anyway? We're in charge. He spoiled them. He broke all the power. But listen, when you go in there and you raise the sick and you cast out a devil and you heal a blind eye, you're taking it all the way back to a commissioned place that as far as God had given Adam, he made him a king from the very beginning, saying, Adam, it doesn't matter whatever comes into this garden. Satan doesn't have authority over you. For 6,000 years, for all these years, now the church is coming back. It's getting back on its foundation. The devils have never been shown. We're not schooling. When it says prince, we're not schooling God's angels. They're not sitting there saying, take. We're showing. Listen, school's in session. School's in session. And we're the teachers. We're showing them once again. Don't go into that sick. Don't go into that sick hospital room and mamby-pamby with sickness. The devil that put them there, teach him a lesson. Take him to school. Show him that the original intent, what you're doing now, is what Adam could not do then by base of his fall. In Jesus' name, get up and walk. Hallelujah. This is our intent. This is his intent for the church. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you, kings and priests in the earth. Father, this is our commission to this intent, now at this time, to this intent, that, Lord, that we bring about, Lord, your glory in the earth. You're showing to all principalities and powers the authority that the church has been given. Hallelujah. Sons of God, we thank you and we praise you. We go in as a righteous nation, kings and priests, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We've got so many people out on, some are working out of state and some are on a conference. So many people that are normally here on Sunday night that won't be here tonight. So we're going to reconvene again next Sunday night, okay? All right, God bless you. No church tonight. All right, bless you. Amen.